It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Glad to be back with you. Was glad to have some time off from takes, but now I'm back and ready to scorch, you know.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For extraordinary diamonds and customer service, visit Mark's in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Are French fries a junk food? Yes or no? What do you think the poll is at, Ike?
I don't really know. I'm going to go with my gut says no. It's probably close. I'll go 60% say no.
So I'm going to take a victory lap here.
Uh-oh.
76.3% say it is a junk food.
Say it, yes?
Yes.
Wow.
So my, next question today is, your favorite junk food. I said French fries and was clobbered by Ike and Jack and then Ike's friends online.
Hell yeah.
Texting him, whatever, saying it's not a junk food. French fries are a junk food. I love them, but they are a junk food.
How's your brother's birthday thing going?
He said, why did you have to do that? And I said, I didn't do it. And he said, well, then who did? By the way, Jason's phone number is 215-317-3000. He's 41 today. He got hit by a car last week. His real phone number is 215-317-3000. You can text him or call him to wish a happy birthday.
Wow.
Don't do it past today. There is one group of guys.
Don't do it past today.
I'm sure people will abide by that. Yes.
There is one group of guys that have a text thread, a group text, and they put him in the group text, and every time he leaves, they put them back in it.
That's me.
Yes, that's me. 215-592-9494. Charlie in Harrisburg. You're on WIP. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So, this whole Jalen Hurts controversy, my issue with you, Spike, and your little smirk with Jalen Hurts being ranked number ninth in that ridiculous list.
Oh, yeah, totally ridiculous. NFL professionals.
Right. There's jealousy.
NFL
professionals never
could
get
it be.
Wrong.
Could it be they disagree with you? Could it just be they disagree with you? Could it just be they saw the 29th ranked passing offense in the NFL last year and said, you know what, this guy's top 10, maybe even 6. That's what some people said. But the top of the list is reserved for people who we think are maybe just better at being the normal things we think quarterbacks are better at. Could it just be that?
Sure, if you want to be left behind with where the NFL is heading.
Where's the NFL heading exactly? The tight ends push you into the end zone? Is that where the NFL is heading?
Apparently, because that's the way that we just won a Super Bowl last year, and we're going to win a Super Bowl again this year.
Okay.
And here's my issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk to Jolly about the whole issue with our good friend in the 76ers, Daryl Morey.
Okay.
You kept coming back to two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Who else should be the GM, and what would you do differently?
Yes.
So who else should be the Eagles quarterback?
I don't want a different quarterback. See, this is why I get so frustrated and what can't get through your skull. And so many people have trouble getting through your skull. I am happy he's the quarterback. I'm thrilled they won the Super Bowl. But if you ask for my honest opinion about who might be better, I will give you my honest opinion. The same thing I would for any player who ever plays here. My job, my literal job, is to give you my honest opinion about how good they are. At no point during the season, unless I was doing it to kid around when Kenny Pickett was playing or something like that, just to tweak you or whatever, I never seriously said I ever wanted them to get rid of Jalen Hurts. I challenge you to go through all of our podcasts for the year I've been on the air and say, find one segment where I'm saying they should move on from Jalen Hurts. I don't think they should move on from Bryce Harper, and I think there are 20 players better than Bryce Harper.
Well, not only that, Spike.
By the way, I don't think they should move on from Zach Wheeler, and I think there are 5 pitchers in baseball better than Zach Wheeler.
Well, hold on.
I've heard you say multiple times to people, no, I don't want Josh Allen. I don't want Joe Burrow. I don't.
Well, no. If you offered me a trade, if you offered me a trade for, if just like if you offered me a trade for Aaron Judge for Bryce Harper, I would say yes. I'm sorry. I would. If you offered me Bobby Witt Jr. for Bryce Harper, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. If you offered me Gunnar Henderson for Bryce Harper, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm not actively saying they should get rid of Bryce Harper, just like I'm not actively saying they should get rid of Jalen. I just feel like, quite honestly, I feel like I have a more reasonable stance than you do. I think yours is, and this is fine because you're a big Eagles fan and you're allowed to love Jalen, but this is not, I don't campaign to get rid of Jalen. None of those things happen. They just don't happen. I just don't think he's as good as some other guys in the NFL. That's it. I will take a Super Bowl winning team and a top 10 quarterback. By the way, my NFL rankings have him 7th. Which is higher than that list. And somehow being the 7th best quarterback in all of football is not enough for you.
No, it's not. It is not enough.
Because you are being emotional.
I'm trying to be very matter-of-fact about this.
But you're not. Your opinion is emotional.
When I look around the league and I see, like, Joe Burrow,
yes,
what he did last year.
Yes.
Okay, he didn't make the playoffs last year.
I know.
I saw Jalen Hurts play with a team very tantamount to that team 2 years ago made the playoffs.
Okay, who's better? Who's better? Hold on. We can do this. Who's better, C.J. Yeah. Stroud or Joe Burrow?
I would say Joe Burrow.
Okay, Joe Burrow didn't make the playoffs last year and C.J. Stroud did. So is C.J. Stroud better because he made the playoffs?
No,
okay, all right, so that's gone. Okay, we can push that off. Okay. Yes, Joe Burrow didn't make the playoffs. He had, still, when you look at his numbers, he had an excellent season, and believe it or not, the Chiefs lost on purpose in the last week of the year so they didn't have to play Joe Burrow. And that is a fact.
I'm not ceding the point that the only thing that matters is playoff wins. That's not what I'm saying here. What I am saying here is that I think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Joe Burrow.
Okay, what does he do better than Joe Burrow? What does he do better than Joe Burrow?
What he does better is he adapts to every situation.
That's not a thing. What does he do better than Joe Burrow? His job is to play sports. Charlie, his job is to play sports. If I asked you, why is Aaron Judge good? You would say, because he hits tons of home runs. He leads the league in batting average. He leads the league in OPS. Blah, 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 blah. You wouldn't say he adjusts. Right? If I asked you why Nikola Jokic was good, you would say he's the greatest passing big man of all time. He's actually a really good shooter. Blah, blah. You wouldn't say he adjusts. I'm asking you simply, what is Jalen Hurts better at as a football player than Joe Burrow?
He is better at finding a way to win.
There it is.
Okay. There it is. Right. There it is, Charlie. Yep, yep, I was waiting on it, Charlie.
There it is. That is, again.
He's a winner.
It's not a skill. It's not a skill.
Oh, winning is a skill.
You stay out of this.
Winning is a skill.
Charlie, I don't know what to tell you, man. Joe Burrow has been to a Super Bowl. He's been to a championship game. They didn't make the playoffs last year. I think he's better than Jalen Hurts. I'm not campaigning that we should trade Jalen Hurts or we should move on or anything like that. I just don't think he's as good as Joe Burrow. It's fine.
I will tell you that anything that Joe Burrow can do, Jalen Hurts can do just as well.
All right. Well, you should see a therapist. What's your favorite junk food?
I would say I actually had one with lunch today, candy cake.
Oh, there you
candy
go.
Cake. Oh, candy cake. Oh, tasty cake.
Yeah, tasty cake.
Most people are, when you ask them their favorite tasty cake, it usually comes down to crimpet or candy cake.
Those
are the two.
I'm probably crimpet.
I'm a candy cake head.
Oh, yeah. I'm a crimpet guy. Yeah. Butterscotch crimpet.
Really?
Yeah. Always been a butterscotch crimpet guy. I eat the frosting last, like a psychopath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get in here.
Yeah.
You just went a wild here.
Yeah, just real quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, just for next question. For next question, the best next question today gets 4 tickets to the Eagles training camp public practice.
And you can August go tell Jalen how much you love him. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yep. You stop being a hater.
Never.
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing.
Yes.
And, you know, I sit there and I listen to you with guys, and the problem is that I think sometimes people want to rank Jalen higher because they feel like there isn't enough praise, right? So I look at the list and I say top 9. All right, you didn't have to be number 1, number 2 on the list, but now I do have to look at the other players and say, why is he better than Jalen Hurts? Not who I would rather have. I would just need to know, Like, what, is there some guys I agree with? Like, I agree Joe Burrow is better than Jalen. And I don't, this is no slight towards Jalen. You know, just because he's our quarterback doesn't mean he's the best quarterback in all of football. He does deserve more respect than he gets for winning, because there's a narrative, Spike, that gets painted out there. Whether you agree with it or not, wholeheartedly, a perception is he's getting carried and he's not doing anything. Now, I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but when people discuss Jalen as a whole, that's, they're either on that side of thing, he's being carried by all the talent around him, or he's being disrespected and not given enough credit for being the quarterback of a team that wins.
I think I get stuck in the middle of those
yeah.
two. Because I don't think he doesn't do anything. In
right.
fact, I gave him credit for a bunch of intangible things.
Mm-hmm.
He does not get flustered by us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to be motivated by anything other than winning, which seems to be a great quality to have in a quarterback.
And I'll tell you what else, along with playing in this city, meaning the difficulty of playing in a town where we look for things to sort of pick at versus praising you. I was drafted into this. I've seen it for the last 27, 28 years. It's a part of our culture. I'm saying he's been able to thrive in that. But more importantly, he thrives when you put him in a, I don't know, high-intense situation, you put him in the postseason, there's something to being unflappable. Now, being unflappable doesn't mean you go out there and you play perfect. It just means to me that you don't unravel. You don't crumble. I rarely see Jalen in blowout losses where he's had three turnovers and two pick sixes. And like he does, he's rarely the reason why your team loses. Not saying that he plays perfectly, because look, took seven sacks in that Green Bay game, and some of that is him holding on to the football. But that's different than saying he turned the ball over three or four times in that Green Bay game, gave up points, and cost you the game. Oh, I'm not thinking of Rams game.
The Rams game is when he had the sacks.
I think his play in the postseason, there's something to be said for that, because there are some guys, they don't perform. Like, I don't think Lamar Jackson performs well when he gets to the postseason.
No, clearly he doesn't.
Prescott does not perform well when he gets to the postseason. And for all of the boogeyman theory of having Patrick Mahomes in your conference, that is the excuse for Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Lamar for not making the Super Bowl. Well, yeah, Jalen doesn't have to go through those guys, but it didn't stop him from winning a Super Bowl or playing, facing Patrick Mahomes and playing him toe-to-toe and outplaying him in a loss. In other words, and Josh Allen has played Patrick Mahomes toe-to-toe. And Joe Burrow has too. I haven't seen Lamar Jackson go toe-for-toe, blow-for-blow, and you just happen to lose because Patrick Mahomes was greater that day. Now, it wasn't Lamar's fault that Mark Andrews dropped the ball last year against Buffalo. I just think Jalen needs to get more credit for that than he does for how he looks playing the position. Because you already know physically he doesn't have the arm strength, the height that those guys have. Because if he did, he would have been a first-round draft pick.
Sure.
As opposed to the second round. So there's already some things there physically he doesn't possess.
I have an answer to that. Give me one second.
Yeah.
All right. So they have all the skills at Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. John Ashdale, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's 6'5".
Is that confirmed?
He is very tall.
Yeah.
Actually, the car's
a cannon for an arm?
Well, I don't know. He looks like he might have a cannon right there for an arm.
It's that time of year again. Back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco. All delivered through Instacart. So that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
They have the biggest event of the summer, the Colonial Hyundai Fest. Cars are got together with Hyundai. They've got over 300 brand new Hyundais on the lot. They got Santa Fe's, they got Tucson's, they got Elantras. And you right now are going to save up to 20% off of any of them. That's up to $10,000. You go into Colonial for Hyundai Fest, you're going to drive out with a new car, keeping your monthly payment without an increase. You might ask how. Well, great financing, as low as 0% available on any new Hyundai in stock, only at Colonial. $6,500 for your trade guaranteed, only at Colonial. America's best warranty as well, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai Fest, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. What I think is, those things that you're talking about, which I think are real, mm-hmm. are what put him in that 6, 7, right. 8 range.
And that's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
And again, I think 9 is too low. I don't have him that low. But
and notice I didn't go with every quarterback. It's just a couple of those quarterbacks in front. I'm like, nah, you got to have him in front of that
the
guy.
The Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, all those guys for sure.
And I would have him in front of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels. Stafford, I have ahead. Baker
at least
is a
Stafford
personal
is an thing. Argument, is a legitimate argument. Yes.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Has put up big numbers and, you know, all those
could
things.
Could easily beat you last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't bring that up. You did. If
Jaden make sure that's on the text line. Yeah.
It happened.
So it's just like, I don't know. Part of it is that when lists like that come out, I laugh and I know what response is going to create. But that guy calling up and telling me that he's better than Burrow because he finds a way to win, I don't know how to respond to that. You know, every quarterback that wins a Super Bowl isn't automatically on the number one on the list the next year.
Yep.
There was something while we were gone. First things first. Well, I'll actually do that second. The Paul George thing second. There's a very long article on ESPN.com, a profile on Joel Embiid. And I think that most people didn't read it because it was 13,000 words.
It was 13,000 words?
Yeah, it took me 35 or 40 minutes to read it
It's like a book.
It is, I would say this. We had the author on the podcast yesterday. We got to talk to him more about it. It was the most in-depth in terms of getting Joel Embiid to talk that I've ever seen. And it did two things for me. One, it truly made me feel empathy for Joel Embiid as a person. He seems like suspicious of everyone around him all the time. He seems like a lonely guy. He does seem depressed. People that have, like, there was a thing, he has like 8,000 missed texts and 800 missed calls. Mm-hmm. When you're avoiding things like that, that is, like, that's not a good sign.
And he's talking to, like, he's a therapist.
Yes, yeah. He, you know, he was talking about when he was a kid and they would go on vacation and he would be so miserable on vacation, they told him he wasn't going to go anymore because he wouldn't talk to anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I have empathy for him being in the situation that he's in. It's tough to be that kind of person in this kind of situation. But I also came away thinking he is unable to take accountability for anything that he does around the Sixers. Mm-hmm. He blames, like, his response to that team meeting last year still is being mad that it was leaked.
Yep.
Not that Tyrese Maxey was mad at him for not showing up and being a good teammate. Mm-hmm. There's one thing in there where he talks about when he played against the Knicks that he wished, you know, somebody in the front office was looking out for him and told him not to play because he was in such bad shape. Mm-hmm. Well, if you'd listened to everything the front office said about your health, we might be in a different situation. Yeah. Like, if I was in front office, I'd be like, Joel, like, I've told you to do a million things and you haven't done them.
Right.
He is just not suited to be a leader on an NBA team. Yeah. I don't think he is. I think he's a good person. Mm-hmm. I think he is struggling. I think he wants all of these things. But sometimes the best player is not necessarily the guy. I think Kevin Durant suffers from the same thing.
Sure.
You know, I think every time Kevin Durant talks about fighting online with a hater,
right,
or switching a team to try, I feel empathy because I'm like, I get it. I get when people are, you've accomplished as much as you've accomplished and people on the internet are telling you you're not good enough and you suck. You've won two finals MVPs.
Right.
But I also think about Kevin Durant. Man, if you're going to be that guy, you can't also do that.
Yeah.
And it is why his championships came in a place where he was not the leader. Steph was the leader. Draymond was the leader. But it's also why he doesn't feel fulfilled about any of those things. And I think the same thing about Joel. I think it's kind of sad. I think he would be better off if they were able to trade him, which I don't think they are. I think he would be better off with a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah.
Made me feel bad for him, but it also made me even more sure that he's not the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, and I did not read it, but I've I heard people talk about it enough. Yeah. You know, they started talking about it last week a little bit. And you get some of the snippets online, and it just feels like there is a desire from him to want to give his side of things.
Yes.
Giving from his perspective. And the feeling that I come away from it with, albeit from afar, and you would know better since you've read it, it's almost as if he's accepted it's not going to happen. And he almost wants to give his sort of perspective on things and how it got to this point. It doesn't feel like he's a guy who's still saying, I believe I can go win a championship. We can go win a championship. Like, that's not what it feels like to me. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, so that's how I felt reading it. Okay. When we talked to the author yesterday, he seemed to think that he was more locked in and more wanted to prove it more than he ever did.
Okay.
But my thing is always like, I don't know. Does he want to prove the haters wrong, or does he want to win a championship? And like maybe, you know, Michael Jordan, the author made a really good point. He's like, Michael Jordan made enemies of people he played with, people he did, his owner, his GM, all those sorts of things. Maybe it is. I just read that and I'm like, man, there's just too much here. And I saw all the reaction. The reaction was one of two things. It was either Joel's making excuses again, what a loser, puff piece, yada, yada, yada. Or it was people going, oh, woe is Joel. Yeah. If someone had just been looking out for him, if someone had just done this for him, or he's had a lot done for him. And part of the problem, the reason it's so toxic around the Sixers, is him.
Yeah.
Like, he is part of the problem, you know?
I am growing to believe that he is the biggest problem, because he is the main, what do they call it? It's not a common factor.
Well, yeah,
not what I'm looking for.
He is the commonality.
Yes,
between all of these things.
I was not looking for you.
You were looking through me.
Yes, yeah. I was really looking at Spike, though. Yes.
Well, no, with all those things that have gone
common
wrong.
Denominator. What I was thinking of.
There we go.
Yeah. I knew it was in there somewhere.
He is.
That damn neural gum ain't working as fast as it should. Yeah. But he has to be a guy who sets a tone.
Yes.
For what the atmosphere. And I start to see that people have come to appreciate what Kobe mindset was as a player, how he rubbed people the wrong way because all he wanted to do was win.
Sure.
And work hard, and he set that sort of tone, so much so he was willing to run away the most dominant big man since Wilt Chamberlain and didn't care. But he set a tone there that this is what it was going to be about, and I'm going to be the one who leads. Not only, like, I'm going to be the one who shows up every day, plays hurt, that's always I'm going to be that way until I can't be that way. I can appreciate players like I can appreciate him more now as a player because I believe LeBron has set this culture in place in the NBA. With these guys, you got to basically kiss their ass as the star player, or you're going to get fired as a coach or GM.
Yep.
They're getting rid of you before they get rid of him.
And if he doesn't like it, he'll go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If he doesn't like it, he can leave and go somewhere else. And all this is basically saying, I'm going to do what I like, what makes me comfortable. I'm not doing anything that makes me uncomfortable. And I just wish Joel, the talent is there. It's the intangible things with Joel that I think he's lacking. To me, he's proved all the haters wrong. Forget about winning the championship, okay. But there were people who thought the guy would never play.
Oh, yeah.
That he wasn't very good. Like, he's already proved those guys wrong.
But he will never, because of how he is, he will never find satisfaction in any of this. Like, I actually don't think, even if he won a championship.
Right. And he wouldn't be happy with it.
He would hear the people who are still talking about
it.
And that's what it seems like. He made there's a story about a trainer he had for 9 years who he leaned on very hard and basically ended up cutting her off because she just couldn't handle it anymore. And then not that she's an enemy, but that relationship fell apart.
Yeah.
So it was And just on top of that, the Paul George knee surgery, like, this ain't going to happen this year. I mean, it's just like, I'm watching for Maxey and Edgecombe and Grimes and
I saw
McCain.
The Paul George thing, and I was like, oh, yeah,
it's just
great.
Like,
I don't think Paul George knows he's a Sixer. No. Does he know he's a Sixer?
He's still doing the podcast.
Like, oh, yeah, great.
He's just kicking me in the groin over and over again.
Got a knee scope. Awesome.
Yeah, Edgecombe will be fun to watch.
Right, yeah, get the young guns out there and let them run.
Yeah. Coming up next, the station did something without us last week.
Pretty ridiculous.
Quarter century week. So they determined the top five athletes.
It's ridiculous that they did it or what they actually did.
What they did without us
being
here. Oh, okay. And elevating it.
Yeah, you don't do that without us. But we will go over their top five next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.